Next on our program is our State of the State report. It's always exciting to hear what we've been doing over the course of the last year. And to give that report, I give you President Carl Jacobson.
Thank you, Mindy. It's I've done quite a few of these reports. I've had the honor to do this for some time now. And each year I try to reflect on something different about the organization, where we've been, where we are, where we're going. And I want to take a few minutes to do something that I generally do outside of this report, but I think it says something to the progress that we've made. I want to combine a little sociology with a little federation, a little sociology with a little history. And this is unscientific, admittedly, for those you statistics in the room. But how many people in this room are under 35, say aye? How many people in this room are between 35 and 65, say aye?
Aye.
And over 65, say aye?
Aye.
How many people in this room have been at conventions for more than 20 years, say aye?
Aye.
For between, not over now, for between 10 and 20 years, say aye?
Aye.
2 years to 10 years, say aye?
Aye.
How many are here for their first time, say aye? It's unscientific, but very rewarding. How many people in this room are students, say aye? How many people in this room are currently employed, say aye?
Aye.
How many people in this room are retired, say aye?
Aye.
I'll get, yeah, good, okay. How many people in this room are Braille users?
Aye.
Now, also, let's not forget, how many people are large print users?
Aye.
Yeah, say it with pride, folks. I'm sitting here with a Braille card, but you know, large print is cool. We will talk about the definition of blindness at some point. But I think what I'm finding out, and I've known for a while, but you helped me validate this, is that there is so much diversity here. There is so much experience in this room that I don't think there's anything that we do that doesn't touch a portion of this population. Over the year, and this is true every year, we have worked with seniors. We work with senior populations and groups of senior citizens throughout the state in various meetings. We have various times to discuss vision loss with senior citizens. The senior population is the largest population who are losing vision today. And although some of us are technically seniors, vision loss is not my problem or yours. But it is a new problem. Aging is our problem. However, vision loss is not our problem. I was a young blind guy, I'm going to be an old blind guy. But for people who are sighted until their senior years, and now vision loss is coming, it's a whole new deal. And you have different approaches to working with the senior population. And I think the society is going to realize that. We talked about some of that at the town meeting yesterday with the commission. We will be addressing some more of that as time goes by. I think collaborative heads can get this done with the commission. We're also working with people looking for jobs. We get calls from people who say, I applied for this job and I didn't get it, and I think I didn't get it because I was blind. Well, you know what? Sometimes that's true. Sometimes you didn't get the job because you're not qualified. We will go to the wall for a blind person who's discriminated against and who has the qualifications. But blindness in and of itself is not your qualifying factor for a job. So if you don't get a job, let's make sure you didn't get it for the right reason. But if there is the right reason there, if we find out that there is discrimination, this organization will go to the wall for that. My first experience with this organization was from a housing discrimination case. I've told the story before. I'll tell it some other time. I don't want to take the time to tell it now. Maybe I'll share it tonight. We can share some of our past of this organization. My first experience with this organization was the Empire State Association of the Blind. There are a few. How many in this room remember the Empire State Association of the Blind? That's a smaller group. That's a smaller group, but that's okay. I'll tell the story of the Empire State Association of the Blind in small detail, maybe this evening if we have time, my first experience with that organization. We've also been working with children and school problems and the education of blind children. That seems to be one of the highest number of calls we get from a mom or dad saying, my son or daughter is blind and I'm being told such and such. I'm being told they don't need Braille. I think they need Braille, but they're saying that Johnny or Mary can see some, they don't need Braille. Or I'm being told that my son or daughter does not expect it to perform at the same level as the other kids in the class. And I'm not just sure what to believe about that. We work with those kids too. We will be addressing some of those things a little later. We will be addressing the needs of those children, and we have been addressing the needs of those children. The reason we can do this is because of the growth of the organization. This organization has experienced growth in its chapters this year. I think it's been several years since we've experienced this growth, but I'm really thrilled with the growth. How many people are here from Syracuse today? You go, Syracuse. Hey. I'm really thrilled with the Syracuse progress. I thought I should know these things ahead of time. Lucy, welcome to the presidency of your chapter. And naturally, I'm not going to ask about Buffalo and New York City. I just expect that to happen. But the rest of y'all are doing great too. I am thrilled with the numbers of people that are here from all the other chapters. Some of the other chapters haven't had presidential changes, so be happy, incumbents, that I'm not calling your names. Some of the things that I outlined will be dealt with, and we have begun to deal with them in Albany, and we dealt with them earlier this year on some level. One of the things that we had on the Albany agenda was something we called a Patient's Bill of Rights. That was introduced in both the Assembly and the Senate. It passed the Assembly, and it's hanging around in the Senate right now. We have another legislative session to go. This legislature is not over yet. There's a second session of this legislature coming up in January. Got a call from another one of our members. This was sparked a couple of years ago by a call I received from one of our members who's here today, who was told when he was in for open heart surgery, just got all kinds of non-information. He was told to take the papers home and have somebody read them to him, get a neighbor, get a friend, get somebody. The staff didn't have the time to read them. I'm not sure that I want to share that kind of information with somebody who's a stranger. A medical professional, sure. My spouse, certainly. But not my next-door neighbor. They don't need to know about my surgery. But that person was told to get somebody to help them. They weren't going to have the time to do that. I got a call recently, just last week, from another member of this organization who had similar experiences with his hospitalization. He said he almost died because people wouldn't give him the right information. I'm going to research that after convention. Unfortunately, the call came in like on Tuesday, and we were heading here, and I had a lot of things to do, and I was assured that the man is alive, so I think I can wait till next week. I took that opportunity. But this is becoming an issue. It's becoming an issue for whatever reason, whether the staff in the hospitals are overworked or whether they don't care or what. It's not important to me why this is an issue. The fact is that blind people are not getting the same information as sighted people, and that's got to change. We will be going for the passage of the Blind Patients Bill of Rights. It was passed in the Assembly, and it was stalled in the Senate. We will get it done. We also this year began efforts to get the education of blind children looked into. We wanted somebody to start looking at things that we already know. The lack of expectations, the lack of Braille, the lack of appropriate services, the lack of expectations for our children is going to give them the opportunity to be unemployed. That is not an opportunity that I want for our children. This weekend is about anything but minimum wage. This is about above minimum wage. You found coins on your tables. You're going to find more. I got bags of them up here. It's nice to have money. I got more of it here. How sweet it is to have money. Consume it. We're going to pass them out. Anybody who wants more money, come and get it. This is Federation guilt. Because one, the great equalizer in this society, ladies and gentlemen, whether we know it or not, whether we want to admit it to ourselves or not, is your earning power. We can all say, well, we're all created equal, we're all God's children, all that is true. All that is true in a theological sense, and I will believe that when I get over Jordan with the rest of you. But right here on this side of Jordan, it's the stuff in this bag that makes the difference, folks. And blind people need their share. So, go. We're going to take that Federation guilt and turn it into American currency someday. Please, we're going to, then there's some other opportunities coming up that I do want to talk about. But in the area of legislation, I've had enough with the low expectations. We will be once again, and with a little more vigor this year, asking the state legislature and the state assembly and the Senate to convene joint hearings on the nature of education of blind children in this state. Yeah. We can do that. We have people willing to testify. We have people who are willing to bring their mothers, adults who are willing to bring their mothers to testify that they didn't get Braille when they were children. We can hear from some through the course of the day who will be willing to say that. I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder, but we have adults who are willing to say that they didn't get it as children and wouldn't their lives have been better. High profile adults. We also are able to do this. We are able to clear the decks here because in late June, as the legislature was winding down, the Assembly passed and the Senate passed also Newsline Bill, Assembly 4161, Senate 1053. Yeah. After many years, the state legislature passed. September 12th of this week, it was delivered to Governor Cuomo for his signature. No action has been taken at this. Things happen, and it can happen any time, and he can sign it. But I would like us to remind Governor Cuomo how important Newsline is to blind people, how important information access is. There are job listings on Newsline where you can search out your job if you're going job hunting. There are many other features on Newsline besides 350 newspapers, daily newspapers, and over 24 magazines that are available. It's an information resource that we cannot ignore because it levels the playing field along with our sighted colleagues. We need to keep it. Governor Cuomo needs to sign it. How many of you have cell phones?
Aye.
How many of you can turn them on the break? Aye, all of you. 518-474-8390. 518-474-8390. There'll be a recording there, and that's fine. It's the governor's office. Tell the governor how important Assembly Bill 4161 is to you. It has been delivered to him. It was delivered to him on September 12th. You, as a citizen of this state, are urging them to sign it. They want your name and your zip code. That's all you need to do. If you got a live person, you won't get a live person on Saturday, but generally when you get a live person, they want your name and your zip code. You all have a name, you all have a zip code. We can share that with the governor's office. So on the break, at lunchtime, 518-474-8390. When the governor's staff comes in on Monday, maybe their voicemail box will be full. And they won't be able to take any calls but ours. Do it, folks. Otherwise, we're back at square one. And I'm not sure if the legislature is anxious to pass a bill that a governor didn't want to sign. In addition to everything that's happened here and the issues that I highlight, we get countless calls. I was trying to do the math this morning on how many calls we get in the office. And it's got to be in the neighborhood of 1,000. No exaggeration. voicemails to return from schools, from senior centers, from people who are blind themselves, from the parents and relatives of blind children, from state agencies, from executive offices, from the legislature. They're just people are calling us as a first resource in blindness now. They are hearing more about what we do and who we are, and they're turning to the organization, to the National Federation of the Blind, first to say, I need some information about this and that. And we don't have necessarily all the information, but the good thing about this is that we are being seen as the first call, as the first resource, and they are calling us. And 1,000 calls is a lot to process. And that's a rough estimate, along with an equal number and better of emails. Now, that doesn't count the spam. And these are the honest to goodness emails. And most of the time, these are Linda Fields those. And most of the time when you call, you're going to get Linda, because I'm going to try to not answer that call first so somebody else can. So if she can screen it, then it just keeps one less thing that I've got to do because she keeps filling my plate. But you know that Linda can get on my back now and again, and I want to thank her for that, because somebody needs to keep me honest. So thank you for keeping the nag list, Linda. Otherwise, half the people in this room would never have gotten called back. If you get called back, it's probably because Linda or Mindy nagged me. So thank them when you see them, unless you didn't want to talk to me. And that's some of the things that we do wouldn't be possible without that. And this convention would not have been possible without some of the people that you kind of know they do these things, but you don't know what went on to getting this thing done behind the scenes. And I'm going to say it publicly. I might say it privately, but probably not. Linda, thank you. I probably also won't say this publicly, privately either, but I want to say this publicly too. Mike and Mindy, thank you. What'd you think of yesterday, folks? Yesterday with the exhibits and the town meeting and the cell phone expo. I'm told there were about 50, 60 all there at the cell phone, etc., and the diabetic meeting. It was just a full day, and the reception last night. What did you guys think of the reception last night? You weren't there. Tough on you. But having said that, yesterday would not have come off because I focus a lot on Saturday. Yesterday would not have come off without Mindy. Thank you, Mindy. You can thank other people later. None of us do it alone. But I over the years, this convention has grown. When I first came around the organization, we got together a little bit and we had maybe a meeting here or there, and we had a couple of speakers. But this convention has grown into a 2.5-day convention now. We'll adjourn tomorrow at noon, but we started yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning, and before that, because things needed to be set up. So this convention has really been going on for some folks since Thursday evening. And the busier we get, the more complicated it gets, and the more people have to work. But those people are working behind the scenes, and the person out front never sees that. You never see the stage crew at a Broadway show. You only see the actors, and the stage crew never gets thanked. So thank you to the stage crew here, some of whom I've named. And at the same time, let me take the opportunity to thank the rest of the stage crew in this organization. I'll thank them all together. It's Ray, Julie, Mike, and Mindy. I can't do this alone. You folks have given me the honor of being the lead horse, or the lead dog on this sled team. But I can't pull the sled alone, and I wouldn't be able to pull it without Mindy, Mike, Julie, and Ray. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Okay, good, thanks. So, team, I want to thank you for that. We have issues that we will be confronting. One of the exciting opportunities we have this year has come through the Excelsior Association of the Blind. Excelsior, if you remember, was a startup, not-for-profit organization that was begun several years ago and has been looking to do kind of what the Federation does, which is increase opportunity and provide services to blind people. The Excelsior Board of Directors is made up of Ray Wayne as chair, Joyce Carrico as vice chair, Jim Benerbo as secretary, Linda Johnson as treasurer, and Maria Garcia, who is a member of the board. All recognizable names. Do you know? I don't have to wonder where the philosophy of the Excelsior Association of Blind is based. The Excelsior Association of Blind has the opportunity to do these things, and until recently, did not have the financial wherewithal. Everybody, like we established before, needs this bag to get along. Somebody took my coins. Good. Keep taking them. Excellent. I've got more of them. I've got more Federation guilt here. There's another bag. Yeah. And one of the reasons we're going to do this is because in the last few, maybe about a month ago, and these things happen as a result of the National Federation of the Blind, I got a call from one of the partners in a company called allinplay.com. Allinplay.com is a recreational site that provides games online, interactive, accessible to both blind and sighted people. Some of them are card games, some of them are word games, some of them are simpler card games like Crazy Eights. Currently, the site has on it two word games and two traditional poker games and the Crazy Eights game, a Texas Hold'em and a draw poker game. It's been in existence for about 10 years now, and the owners of the company don't have the time anymore because they got a little older. They developed this when they were in college, and they said that it was fun when we were in college and we could make a few dollars doing it, but now we have diapers to buy and we can't afford to do this as often. So they were looking to donate the company to an organization, and they came to the National Federation of the Blind and said, you guys have the biggest reach in blindness. You guys could do something with this. We'd like to give our baby off to somebody who can take care of it and knows the population and knows who can benefit from this. So they called me, and I spoke with Dr. Maurer and Mark Riccobono. And Dr. Maurer and Mark Riccobono and I, after a little go-around and the like, thought that the best opportunity for this would not be for Baltimore to take it over, because Baltimore just has a lot on its plate right now, and it would be the kind of thing that we'd have to dedicate Baltimore resources to in terms of staffing, and we didn't quite have that at this point in time, because the staff at the National Center is pretty well working to its 110% capacity. You'll hear about that later. And I thought about taking it over from the affiliate here, and I said, well, you know, I'm not quite sure if the affiliate is able to grab this right now and run with it. However, there is an organization that this affiliate is associated with that could perhaps take it over and do something with it. And I think I know the philosophy of that organization, because that organization has an unpaid executive director and an unpaid associate director with it who have been unpaid up until now. That's myself and Mindy. Though, given the complement of people there, Ray, Joyce, Jim, Linda, Maria, Mindy, and myself, I was pretty certain that this Excelsior Association of the Blind would find a useful purpose for this. So in a few weeks, as long as it takes for the legal stuff to get done, the All in Play company will be donated, lock, stock, and barrel, intellectual property and all, to the Excelsior Association of the Blind. And this is due large in part, not because of just me, but here today, we also have two people who have become very closely associated with this project. You're going to hear from them a little later, maybe in about 45 minutes or so. Charlie Richardson, you here? Yeah. And Kathy Hutchings, you here? Yeah. There you go. Charlie and Kathy are working with us on this project. We're going to make this work. We're going to turn this we're going to turn this Wright Brothers plane into a jet. There are talents that Charlie and Kathy bring to this project that will grow this project around the country, actually around the world. This is a worldwide thing because it's internet. We have the opportunity to change what it means to be blind for not only the members of All in Play, but for the members of the public at large, through educational programs that will grow out of this, through chat sites that will grow out of this, through tutorials that will grow out of this, all made possible because of the National Federation of the Blind, was approached by Jeremy Spitzer and Paul Silva to make this possible. And with Charlie and Kathy and myself, we're going to make this happen very soon. Charlie and Kathy are going to talk to you about that. Because what they have here, you can think of this as Hanukkah gelt in this bag here with all these coins. Or you can think of it as chips, more chips. chips. I've got here in this bag the fountain. For those of you who are familiar with All in Play, the fountain is on this head table. Come and get your chips from the fountain. Kathy and Charlie will be back there. I'll give you a bag of fountain chips later. Distribute them, throw them around. I know our audio was not working as well as it could, but I'd love some poker sounds, like Yahoo later for this. But again, these things are made possible because we are an organization of people who have been recognized as the forward thinkers in this state and in this nation, the forward thinkers who are going to change the opportunities for blind people in the future, the people who have become the go-to people, like Paul and Jeremy came to us with the idea of donating their company to some people who could make a difference in the lives of blind people. There are probably many people in the phone book with blind after their name. They came to us. Why did they come to us? Because they know the realities. They've been to our national conventions and they know the realities. And it's our members, again, who are making this possible. They could have gone to other people, but they knew Charlie. They knew me and they knew the organization. And we were just lucky on many levels. And Charlie can talk about that if he wants to later. We're lucky to have made the association of Kathy. Kathy, I'm glad. Kathy's come the longest to this convention, by the way. I don't care where Neil and JJ came from. She came up to be with us from Florida this weekend. And so she's got the mileage record. JJ came from Michigan. Michigan's further, closer than Florida. And Neil, Baltimore's around the corner. Baltimore's only a short train ride away. But I think the long and short of it this year, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have made the progress that we've made because of each other. We have begun to build on the early days of the Federation in the mid-50s, when a few forward-thinking people got together and said, we need to make sure that blind people have the security that we have. Many of the people who formed this organization were themselves employed with their families. They were not seeking educations, but they wanted to make it better for blind people, and they have. And they've passed the torch from generation to generation up to today. The organization today is nothing like the organization that I even came into in the 80s. It's nothing like the organization that those of you came into in the 50s. And certainly the opportunities for blind people would never have been even imagined, where we have the reach of the internet to serve the world, to profit from the world, to gain from the world, and to educate the world about blindness and the capabilities of blind people. It's an honor to work to serve this organization. On behalf of myself, Mike, Mindy, Ray, and Julie, I want to tell you once again that it is an honor to serve this organization. It has been an honor for these past 2 years for the five of us to serve you. And if you will have it that way, it will be our honor, the five of us, to serve you again. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a little more reflective because I felt in a reflective mood this year than usual. We've got some goals still. We have some goals to achieve. We still need to get that Newsline bill signed. What number did I ask you to call? 518-474-8390. Very good. If somebody next to you forgot it, hit them. Make sure they don't forget it. Call them on the lunch break. I'm not sure what the capacity is of that voicemail system. Let's see if we can exhaust it. ladies and gentlemen, this is an organization that can't be stopped. I talked yesterday at the board meeting a little bit about the finances of an organization, and people retire, organizations don't. This organization is doing anything but retiring. This organization is still in its growth years. This organization has never been as strong as it is today, whether it's on a national level or a state level or a chapter level. We are the people who make a difference in the affairs of the blind of this state and of this nation. Don't you forget it. Be proud of it. Affirm it. Go out there and practice it. Believe it. Hold your heads and your canes. I was going to say your dogs up high. but metaphorically speaking, It's much easier to hold the cane up high, right? But metaphorically speaking, we are the blind of this state. We chart our destinies. I thank you for the opportunity of being president. Well, Mike, Julie, Ray, Mindy, and I look forward to another 2 years if it is your pleasure tomorrow. Thank you once again, folks. God bless you. God bless the Federation.
First I want to do a door prize for, in fact, I want to do two door prizes for that wonderful speech, that wonderful report. And we thank you, Mr. President, and we too appreciate your leadership. That calls for an applause.